Y'all play the Razorbacks next year. Is that a big deal to the Red Wolves, or is this just another game on the schedule?
You know, it's a good thing for the state. As far as for the Red Wolf fan, the historical Red Wolves have always wanted to play the Razorbacks. We don't overlook or underlook any opponent. We're going to go into every game with expectations to win and to compete at a high level.
Arkansas Football Coaches Association.
What's up, Jeff? How are you?
What up, boy?
Dang, yeah. He says, guys, just like the Godfather, this is the life you've chosen.
Guys that have kind of been in the arena.
Podcast is powered by Lindsay and Associates, All American Steakhouse in Springdale, and the Pigs brand.
Let's bring on our guest, Coach Nick Grimes from Arkansas State University, the Red Wolves, new offensive line coach. Coach, welcome to the show.
Thank you all for having me.
Well, we're excited about it. By the way, I talked to your dad, who's a legendary coach. People don't know your dad, J.B. Grimes, going in the Hall of Fame this year. Talked to him. He told me he knows you're on the road, but you need to give him a call sometime soon. I don't know what that's about.
Well,
let's get into before we get into what you're currently doing and some getting in some ball. Let's go back and look at your background, where you came from. Obviously, we just talked about your dad, legendary offensive line coach in college, and obviously, Hall of Famer going in the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame this April. And you grew up in it. I remember your dad talking about you when you were senior in high school, but you're born in Louisiana, grew up a little bit in Arkansas, end up graduating in Bryan, Texas there when your dad was at A&M. Talk to you a little bit about experience of, with your dad and growing up in a football family.
Yeah. So it's unique. I was born in Louisiana, Monroe. Back then it was Northeast Louisiana, before they became Monroe. I lived there for 2 years. Don't even remember it. And then moved to Fayetteville. I was in Fayetteville for 5 years. And then he went to Virginia Tech. So I was there for 5 years. And then I went to A&M Consolidated. I went to College Station, Texas, and he was there for 5 years. Then my junior year is when they fired Slocum. He landed at East Carolina. So I got moved up there like 2 weeks left of my junior year, moved up there, lived there that summer. And then my senior season, played up there at Greenville Rose High School while he was at East Carolina. And then he took a job at Mississippi State, and I moved back to Texas and lived with a friend. Graduated from Texas in 2004, signed with the University of Tulsa. Transferred to Sam Houston State, finished up there in 2009, and then started my coaching career.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting career. You talked about you signed, you were a great offensive line, went to Tulsa, finished your career out in Sam Houston. You get into high school coaching there in Texas, which, big state, and high school football in Texas is huge. End up winning a state championship. Talk about your experience coaching high school football.
Break it down, high school football, I love it, especially down here in Texas, because that's all I know. But, starting off down here, I was at Navasota with Lee Fedora, Larry's brother. I was with him for 3 years at Navasota. And then I went and became the offensive coordinator at Howell, which is just north of McKinney, small school up there near Anna, north of Dallas. So did it for 4 years and then made the jump and got a GA job at Cincinnati. But my roots are in Texas down here, and I've actually kept my certification up just in case, I need to have a fallback plan. And it's come to it a couple times where I was like, man, I'm fixing to head back to Texas and be a high school coach again, which, hey, that ain't all bad now either. So, I've still got that as my backup, but it's my back pocket.
Well, you got to always have something in your back pocket in this profession. There's no doubt about it. But let's get there. You GA there at Cincinnati a little bit, and an interesting thing, you go with Tommy Tuberville, and boom, all of a sudden, bam, he hires your dad, and y'all get to work together for a little while.
Yeah, it was a unique deal. I got up there, and originally I was coming in as the O-line GA. When I got there, Coach Tubbs said, hey, surprise, it's going to be tight ends and special teams. I said, okay, kind of roll with the punches. It's my foot in the door. About 6 months later, he hires me as the tight ends coach. So tight ends coach leaves. I become the tight ends guy. I'm there for my second year as the tight ends coach, and then the O-line coach leaves and Tommy says, hey, I'm going to hire your dad. I said, oh, he ain't leaving Auburn, No, he wanted to leave Auburn. So he had the chance to come up there and coach with me. Unbelievable year. Him and my mom came up there and lived with us in Cincinnati. My wife, Courtney, and I just had our first child when they were there. So they got to be there for the birth of Tatum, my daughter. But yeah, great, great year, great experience. And then, Coach Tubbs got the axe. And so we moved on, but it was a really good year.
Yeah, I knew that was a great experience. I remember your dad, you know, talking about it, and you know, Coach Tubb gets out, kind of shocking there. And I remember me and your dad were talking about it today. I was remember talking to him. He said, "I think everything's okay." And 3 days later, he calls and everybody's moving on. You know, it's just the way it goes. But you go on, you go to down in North Carolina and become an offensive coordinator, do well there, get a cup of coffee at SMU with Rhett down there, and then now you're sitting at Arkansas State as offensive line coach and the run game coordinator. Talk to about your experience just to that role being at Cincinnati and where you're at here at Arkansas State.
Yeah, so from Cincinnati, I went to Campbell. Like you said, I was there at Campbell University, which is a 1AA in North Carolina. I was special teams coordinator for 2 years and then OC for 3. From there, I actually went to UAB. So I was the tight ends coach at UAB for the season of 2022. So I was there with Brian Vincent. He was the interim at that time. You know, afterwards, they ended up hiring Trent Dilfer. He came in and got us all part of it. And that's when I landed with Rhett. I was with Rhett for about 2 months. I had a few calls here and there from some smaller schools. And I said, yeah, I need to probably need to stick it out here with Coach Lashley at SMU because he's got it going on and doing the right things. But, you know, I was an analyst there. So it was an off the field job, wasn't my full time deal. So, you know, Coach Heckendorf, our offensive coordinator at Arkansas State, calls me up. Friend of a friend gave him my name. Called me up on a Thursday night. We do a phone interview. I did a Zoom interview the next day, and then they flew me in that following Sunday and did an in-person interview with Coach Jones and the whole staff and got this job in February of 2 years ago. So right out about 2 years now.
Well, y'all have had a lot of success. Bray?
Yeah, you know, I love to hear the stories of you know, coaches who are in that analyst role, learning under some great head coaches, and they get to take that jump onto the field. What was one thing that you took from that analyst job that really just kind of pushed you over the edge to get that on the field job?
Yeah, so the analyst deal was kind of in between. So I had already, you know, GA'd, became the full time guy at Cincinnati. So the analyst gig for me was more on the back end as like a stop in between having to, you know, being full time gigs, but. In my short stint that I was with Rhett, you know, I just learned a lot about being a head coach. Like he's very structured. He's got his the way he's got it laid out with the heads of each department and who reports to them and some of those things that he does there and how he runs his program. I got and then Coach Cooper, the special teams coordinator, him and I worked together during that time, and it was just how he runs his meetings, puts things together. So it was just good to see different parts of it from different views.
Yeah, you know, my next question would be from tight ends to O-line. The jump there, you know, obviously the position's very, very related. What's the biggest change for you making that jump?
Not dealing with the pass game as much, you know, and I played O-line. My dad was an O-line coach, so I grew up around it. I always thought I was going to be an O-line coach. And then when that opportunity presented itself at Cincinnati, I kind of ran with it and ended up getting me to call ball plays at the Division I level. So That's why I kind of fell in love with tight ends. You know, because you get to learn all aspects of the game, the coverage piece of it and the route concepts, the when to win and the routes. But I think that's going to always help me become a better offensive line coach as well. So the main transition part of it is going to be not dealing with the route schemes and being straight protections, you know, dealing with that. And then, you know, coaching 5 guys on every play instead of 1 and 2. You know, a big help was the iPads nowadays. So I was the O-line coach during the bowl game and we're able to watch. We're able to watch every drive right after. And so we can sit there and we can talk through stuff and talk through different blitz patterns and how we're going to pick things up. And if we're turning our shoulders too much and whatever's happening, it's instant feedback. So those iPads are really helpful.
Well, Coach, let me ask you this also. Yeah. You talked about the iPads and all that part of it, but obviously you're sitting in a hotel room right now, kind of change the subject here a little bit. What's your schedule look like right now? I mean, are you recruiting, you know, the next year signees, portal, where are you at and what are you doing?
Yeah. So I'm in Texas, Katy, Texas. I'm actually seeing 4 kids that we signed out of Houston that signed in December that'll be here coming up in the summer. But as I'm going to see these kids and making sure that I go see their coaches and then doing in-home visits with them, I'm also building our 2026 and 2027 lists. So some people on the road right now are still trying to close up their 2025 class. We're signed. We're set. we're delivered. So we feel good about that. Well, we've got a couple more kids that are going to sign with us in February, but we already did their official visits. So we're set on that. So right now it's just keeping those relationships strong with the kids that did sign in the 2025 class and starting to build new relationships with the 2026 and 2027 guys.
Y'all play the Razorbacks next year. Is that a big deal to the Red Wolves, or is this just another game on the schedule?
You know, I think it's a good thing for the state. As far as for the Red Wolf fan, I think it's big because, you know, we've just never played each other. And it's always, I think the historical Red Wolves have always wanted to play the Razorbacks. But I think it's just a good thing for the state. But at the end of the day, it's another game that we got to go out there and compete. You know, as a coaching staff, we don't overlook or underlook any opponent. We're going to go into every game with expectations to win and to compete at a high level. So we'll game plan that game just like we do all the other games, just like we did Michigan and Iowa State this last year, you know, and go in and play ball and try to take care of the football. But I think at the end of the day, I think it's good for the state, you know, the state for Red Wolf and for Razorback fans to get together and to play there in Little Rock at War Memorial. It's going to be a good deal.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's a guy that – oh, it will be. And you think about it, as a guy that grew up in Northeast Arkansas, you know, and real familiar with Arkansas State, and I live in Northwest Arkansas. I tell you what, I never thought I would see it in my lifetime, but I tell you what, and Bray, you're right, that place ought to be rocking, and the radio talk show should be hopping also during that week and everything. Coach, I got one more question for you, and then I'll turn it over to Bray again. Is you've gone through a journey. You're a young coach, obviously, but you've jumped around a few places. Talk to me about some of the mentors. You know what Coach Jones at Arkansas State means to you, and what he brings to the table as a head coach, and different coaches that's really influenced your career.
Yeah, so Tommy Tuberville is number one because he gave me my first shot into the college ranks. Lee Fedora, you know, great name in the Texas high school ranks. Larry was his brother. So those are two early on in my career. You know, I built a really good relationship with Darren Henshaw, who's at Purdue now. Him and I coached together at UAB for a year. So we were together at Cincinnati and then reunited at UAB for that 1 year. So Darren does a really good job. I've always looked up to him. And then, you know, Coach Jones, man, I've learned a ton since I've been with Coach Jones. You know, it's every head coach is different. You know, they structure things a little bit different here and there. But Coach Jones is second to none as far as just his structure, the way we run everything in the program to, you know, a coach's manual to, hey, this is a new coach's orientation. Hey, this is how we talk. This is the same language that we're all using. We all get on the same page. I like that Coach Jones really talks about Arkansas State as an effort-based program. You know, these coaches that say they don't coach effort, well, we coach effort. You know, we're going to get after it in practices. So, you know, really just main things I've learned from Coach Jones is just the connection that we build, that the team has built. That's a real thing. You can see it on the sidelines. When you watch our games on TV, you can see our sidelines fist bumping, high-fiving. We actually track connections. We have somebody that's tallying up and watching the film at the end of the day and tallying up back pickups, fist bumps, pats on the back, you know, just love and connection between the team. And it's really helped us come together. And that's what I've learned the most out of from Coach Jones.
Well, I'll let Bray finish it up here.
Going back into Coach Jones, what is something outside of, you know, what you just mentioned that you're going to take with you for the rest of your career?
Something Coach Jones does, church on Fridays, you know, so when we travel, you know, we do a Catholic mass for the Catholic people and then a chapel service on Fridays for the football players. I think that just is another way to build connection within the team. That's one thing I'll take. But you know, as far as football wise, man, practice structure, you know, his 4-6 A to B, every football play lasts 4 to 6 seconds. How hard can you go from point A to point B? That's something that I'll take with me forever. Just the effort base that we talk about and the true connection. Those are things that I'm going to continue to preach. And then just the way you run meetings, you know, he always talks about just being different and how can you set yourself apart and not be boring for these kids and adding little clips into the meetings to kind of break it up and to have fun in the meetings. And that way, when you cross the white line and you're on the field, I mean, it's all go, all ball. But have some fun in the meetings and joke and laugh and kind of keep it interesting and keep those kids engaged.
Power counter inside zone. Was there a ranking, a priority? What's your go-to install on day one?
We were number one on inside zone. Yeah, we inside zone. We're strong inside zone with some outside zone. We dabbled in a little bit of counter. We did some GT this year. We'll probably put a little bit more GY in next year. Coach Jones has never been a big power guy, but we're going to see if we can get him to run a little bit of power.
Love it. Love it.
Based off of rotation. So, you know, we'll cross that bridge, not on a podcast, if you know what I'm saying. You know, a big inside zone too. Like we're huge on inside zone and every which way, dressing it up, motions, strong side tight end, backside tight end, two double split flowers. Mm-hmm. You know, if you watch our film, you'll see a ton of different ways of running inside zone. And it might not always look the same to a defense, you know, because we'll do it out of the pistol. We'll do it out of the gun. We'll go same side inside zone where the back is strong. So if they're playing a bunch of twist games to the side of the back. So we'll big when we go to them next week, we're going to start doing some skills and drills and we're off the road recruiting next week. So we'll go spend a little bit more time with the guys, but really just building that team and building this team's identity.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Coach Ab, we appreciate you taking time with us. I know you're on the road, busy schedule. We've been wanting to get you on here and congratulations on becoming, you know, your promotion and look forward to great things and appreciate you coming on.
Yes, sir. Thank you all for having me. It was a pleasure.
Well, we'll be sending you a gift card from All American Steakhouse here in Springdale. So if you're up in Northwest Arkansas, stop by and get a steak.
Come on.
I'll recruit Fayetteville. And I watched your podcast. I saw that y'all had my boy Aaron Danahauer on there the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Aaron and I had signed together, he was a year older than me, but I played with him at the University of Tulsa.
That's right. You're same age.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah. Okay. So I look like it lined up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my boy. I love that dude. So yeah, he's good. We stayed in great contact throughout the years. So, yeah, great guy. So, I'm excited about him over there at Harbor. So I recruit Harbor. So I'll be through to go see him in the spring. So I'm gonna go
see
him.
Well, we'll be getting that gift card out to you, and you can stop by see Coach and take him out for lunch.
Sounds good.
Well, good deal. Well, for Coach Jeff Williams and Coach Bray Cook, we'll see you next time.